Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday morning, August the 2nd, 2023, 19 minutes past the hour. And it is an historic morning here in Marion, Ohio. August the 2nd, 1923, President Warren G. Harding, the president from Marion, Ohio, died. An event which ended his presidency back in 1923. Now, we've got a whole morning of fun planned to celebrate President Warren G. Harding, and we're going to be on today through noon, so make note of that. We're going to be on 2 hours longer than we normally would be today, but we had to start this way, in a special way, to discuss what all this means, the centennial anniversary of the death of President Harding, and nobody better to start that with than an exclusive interview with the grandson of President Warren G. Harding, Jim Blessing. Jim, how are you?
All right, how you doing?
Doing well. Jim, when you hear this fact, 100 years ago today, your grandfather died, what's the first thing that runs through your mind?
Oh, Christ, there's all kinds of things. I think about, I don't know, I just try to think back to what he was doing and what he was thinking, everything. It's interesting because I think about it all the time that it's actually been 100 years. It's hard to explain it.
You know, you have a unique perspective on this, Jim, because there are a lot of people, there are nephews, there are people who have done work archiving President Harding, people who have obviously done interviews like myself, but you are his grandson, a direct descendant of President Warren G. Harding. Your mother is no longer with us, his daughter. Does this day mean more to you than you think other people?
Oh, sure. Sure, and it's interesting for me because, you know, I never met him, never touched him, never saw him, but I know him. I tell people I'm him. I've lived his life. I understand exactly what their thoughts were, what they went through, everything. It's very interesting, and I plan on delving into that more with people because it's a very interesting story. It's an unbelievable story, really, and it's. I think that it would be very interesting for people to know the story and understand because it would delve into their life. It would show them things that they need to keep their eyes open for, and they would understand it differently. But it was just I was given a gift, and I just have a unique understanding of what happened and what their life was like.
Now, Jim, part of that unique understanding, how much of that can you tell us about? Because I think people are probably wondering what you mean by that.
Well, it's I try to explain to people there's things happen in your life that you don't understand. You don't, most people, including myself, I did not pick up on it immediately. And it took me a while. And all of a sudden, one day it clicked with me. But I've lived the life. I've lived the exact life that my grandmother and my grandfather lived. And so when I look at it, I understand it differently now. And all of a sudden, in the midst of it, it just woke me up one day and realized this has been put in front of me. And very interesting. And it's kind of, I understood this before, because that's just kind of my nature. I like to know about stuff and understand it. But this was just something that is unbelievable to me. And I know that it happens to everybody. And it just, things happen in your life. And you need to be aware of them and look for them. Because things are put in front of you for a reason. And for you to understand or anything, you know, just for general purpose, it's there. And if you notice it and know how to read it, it really opens your eyes to everything that happens. I mean, I just understand everything about them. The love, the everything, how they felt, everything. And it was one of the greatest things in my life. And it's just amazing to me when I think about it. And then I'll come up with something. And when I read stuff about this, I understand it so much deeper because I understand what they probably went through and stuff. And it's just very interesting. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to explain, but it just has given me a totally different outlook on the whole thing. And it's changed me to where I want to go do what I do. And I made a promise to myself and my grandmother and my mom and my grandfather and that I would do this and get this out. You know, it's interesting because this story, if you look at it close and look at all aspects, it just screams, help me. Help me tell the public. Help me look at what went on. There's so many things with this story that just scream out for help and that things that need to be explained and need to be told. And it's just, I look at it like if you were, you know, somewhere, if you went on beyond and you're trying to communicate with people and you're talking to them, but they can't hear you and how frustrating it is. And this is kind of, I mean, I don't want to sound like an oddball, but this is kind of what this is, because this is the story that needs to be told and the truth needs to come out about it. And there's just so much stuff. There's so many things that pop out at you.
Well,
that,
Jim,
when you read this,
what is the main truth that you think needs to be out there?
About their relationship, about him, mainly about his life and what he tried to accomplish for the country, and that, you know, he really wasn't what they've portrayed him as, and he was not involved in all this stuff, and that he cared about people. This is what my grandmother used to tell us all the time. He was the greatest man, and he tried so hard to help everyone. He wanted everyone to be happy and wanted to do things to help everybody in their life. And if you look at what he accomplished and what he did and which direction he was going, it's true. And now with the new book out, it just explains so much, and it tells you that all the things that they tried to do to him were not true. They had no reason to go after him for this and do this. And it's interesting because I've told you this before, but I have tons of articles, and I read them all the time. I reread them all the time, because every time I read them, I see something different in them. And this is what I'm getting at, is that if you look at it closely, you see stuff, and then when you read it again, you see something you didn't see the first time, the second time, third time. So I'm always seeing something that's new to me because it pops out, and it's real interesting. And I had said this, I think, the last time we talked. This is the 100th anniversary of this, and if you were to step back from this and look at what's going on right now, it's identical. It's completely identical. They wrote about him and wrote lies about him and tried to direct you and the public into a direction to think of him of completely different and to follow the theme that he was corrupt and all this stuff, when he wasn't. He had nothing to do with any of that. And we're seeing this right now. We're seeing things written and stuff like this. And I look at articles that were written about him, and they've carried that through. They've carried that through all these 100 years. And now you look at what's going on now. You look at how he followed Wilson and everything. And if you sit down and look at it, you'll feel like, oh, my God, it's there. It's right there. It's exactly the same as what went on 100 years ago, which is really bizarre to me. It's just it fits it so well.
You know,
so
it
kind of, go ahead.
Well, no, it's interesting, Jim, that you're talking about this, and this is the only current event I want to talk about this morning, but just so happens the way things have went, on the eve of the centennial of your grandfather's passing, former President Donald Trump was indicted for the third time yesterday, second time by the federal government, for things that went on January 6th. So those indictments are out there. What do you make, just because it came on the eve of your grandfather's the centennial of your grandfather's death. What do you make of what went on with President Trump yesterday?
I think it kind of answers my question and kind of certifies what I'm saying. It's just what it is. It's we all know, most people know what's going on with Trump. And this is what I'm getting at, is that I read this stuff, and it's just following exactly what went on 100 years ago.
What do you think's going on with Trump?
I think they're trying to stop him from being president.
Now
they can't afford him to come in.
Now I remember back in 2016, you announced that you would support President or then candidate Trump in that particular election. How do you feel now in 2023?
Trump, I back him 100%. He's what we need. He's what the country needs. He's the one. I mean, if you just look at his past record of the 4 years, look at where we are now. There's really not much to say. I mean, you just have to look at it. I admit it. I'm a Trumper without a doubt. And I look at him, and I mentioned this, I think, the last time we talked. I've heard people conversation on the radio or on TV or whatever, and on the internet, and they call him, he was Trump before there was a Trump. And when I read this stuff, this is what I'm getting at. When I read this stuff, it's exactly what they did to him. Exactly. And people, that's what I was getting at. And I look at stuff out of the 50s and 60s that are written about him. They have carried that same thing about him all the way through. I read these articles, and I know who these guys are that are writing them, and they're just trying to keep this going. For some reason, they don't want anyone to know what he accomplished. And he did so much when he was president, so many good things. And he cared about the people. That's what it was all about, the people. And women, which was incredible. It's like my grandmother. My grandmother was ahead of her time. She was the woman's lib, and she did so much for women. And she doesn't get credit for anything. And if you think about it, you know, she opened the Elizabeth Ann Guild after this all happened. And she went in and helped women that are unmarried women with children. And think about that. That is an incredible feat. And they tried to stop her all the time, and she just kept doing it. So same with him. He did all this stuff. He did all the things he tried to do for the blacks. It's just unbelievable. And he was stopped on everything.
Now, just to make sure I get this right so we don't misquote you here, Jim, you believe that your grandfather, Warren Harding, was Trump before there was Trump?
Well, that's what they call it, you know. I mean, Harding went through exactly what Trump is going through. They were belittling him all the time, trying to make the public dislike him, tear him down, and that's what it's been. I mean, if you look at what Trump's been through, it's the same thing my grandfather went through.
Now, as far as
constantly,
how do you feel about these indictments? You just think they're out to get him? Is that what I'm reading here?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Well, of course. I mean, it's just, you've got to understand what's going on, and that's what it really is. They're trying to stop him. I mean, why else would you do this? Why else would you do this? And that's, you know, if you want to put in context, they've never stopped him. Everything they do, they can't stop him. And they can't prove anything. There's really been nothing proven. And you'll like I said, you'll read articles. I read articles about Harding, and they talk about him doing this and that and this, and not one word of it's true. Not one word is true of what they talk about he did, and he was a part of this. And I read articles about, oh, he went to the party, and they had talked about him. I don't know if you know any of this stuff, but one of the articles I read, they went to a poker party, and they were going to have a girl there, dancing girl, and people were getting excited and everything, and they were throwing bottles and everything. And one of the dancing girl had to be taken to the hospital because she died. And they're saying, rumor has it that it was Trump, Harding that threw the bottle. I mean, come on. It's just absurd, but they do it, you know, and it couldn't be anybody else throwing the bottle. It had to be Harding, see? And if you read these articles, they just go after him horribly. and try as hard as they can to make him look bad.
Now, Jim,
I mean, I've got articles I've read over and over again that are like this. They come out with this stuff about him, and then when they do an article, they don't talk about stuff. They talk about him doing this, or they put the direction towards him. Something had happened, or something bad. Of course, it was Trump's fault. I mean, I'm talking the way it is. Same thing. Well, it was always their fault, you know.
Jim, I want to come back to Harding here for a second in this date, because 100 years ago today, August the 2nd, 1923, President Harding died while still in office. He was in San Francisco. And this day itself, 100 years later, for the last 100 years, has become an interesting point, because there have been theories, now some people would call them conspiracy theories, that President Harding was killed. People have said that about his wife, Florence Harding. People have speculated that the doctor, Dr. Sawyer, might have had something to do with it, but that he did not die a natural death. His grandson, 100 years to the day, what do you think happened on August the 2nd, 1923?
I think he didn't die a natural way. I think that this is one of the things I'm talking about, that it's being shouted out, but nobody's listening. No one's helping in this, and this is where the Hardings, why haven't they done anything to try to find out about this or do anything? And this is what I'm getting at, is that, you know, everything in his life shouts out. His will, his death, everything. It just shouts out. How was it possible that he died, the President of the United States, and no autopsy? I can't even fathom that. It's just, how does that even happen? How could that possibly be allowed to happen? And it just, why would it happen? Why would you not want something like that?
So 100 years ago today, you believe that your grandfather was murdered?
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't know about murder, but yeah, I guess I would say that. And that's, you know, and then that comes too from my grandmother. Growing up, that's all we were told. My grandmother talked about it all the time, and that he had told her that he was feared for his life, and that he knew something was going to happen or something would happen, and that was what he used to tell her all the time.
Did he tell her
something or whatever?
Did he tell her who he feared was going to murder him?
Well, he said possibly it would be tied with her and whatever. But see, I don't know so much if that's true, and if it was her, it could have been both of them. I think the doctor was probably involved somehow. And
speaking of Florence Harding, right?
Right.
Okay. So your best guess, just by what you read, I mean, obviously neither you or I were around at that time, and your grandmother was not there when it happened on the trip to in San Francisco when he died in 1923. What is your best guess as to what happened? Who do you think murdered him 100 years ago today?
I don't know. I mean, I could just guess, and I think that it possibly had something to do with her and someone else. And that you know, it could have been her. She found out about him with my grandmother or whatever. You know, she had her investigated. She had her followed. So she obviously knew something. But I just think that it was unnatural. And I like I said, everything shouts out. Help me, because it's just everything. If you look at everything and put it all together, none of it makes any sense. You look at the will. The will makes no sense at all. And no one questioned anything? I don't get that. How could you not question that? And that he's the president. I mean, when you think about it, do you think it's okay that he was, he died and no one knows how and no one knows why and no autopsy was done? It could have answered all the questions.
It's definitely a very interesting point. Now, Jim, something that I did not realize till this morning, I want to just get your feeling on this. As many people know, and books have been written on this, Warren G. Harding started the Marion Star. He took over a small fledgling newspaper at that time. But basically, the Marion Star is heavily associated with President Harding, always has been. He was the editor-in-chief for many, many years. And I was looking at the Marion Star this morning here on the centennial of President Harding's death. And as near as I can tell, I haven't seen the hard copy of the paper, but I looked online. There is not one story today on President Harding, not one piece of information in the Star commemorating his death. How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel sad. It makes me think, how dare you? How dare you do that? It makes my point. It's just something's odd. And he took that paper and made it flush. He made it a great paper and everything, and that's him. That's his history, and they're ignoring his history. It's just, I don't know. This is what I'm talking about. There's something really odd.
If you could speak to the editor or whoever is making the decisions over there, the fact that they are not even in passing commemorating the president's passing today on the 100th anniversary of his passing.
We don't know for sure, though, really, but we're guessing pretty much. Huh?
Yeah, it looks that way. There's nothing online. What would you say to them for not acknowledging this event?
I'd say to them, how dare you do this? Why? First off, I'd ask why. See, I'm a big why guy, and I'd like to know why you would do this. This is your founder. This is the person that made that paper, so you still have a job. I mean, he's the one that made it flush and made it prosperous, and I don't understand. Not to mention, he was the president. He comes from Marion. See, I would think, that if it's Marion, he was Marion's president of the United States. They produced him. And I just don't understand why there wouldn't be more backing for him and stuff. And it ties to where we got here in America, where we had no patriotism and people didn't follow through and didn't care anymore and just let things go. They let everything go to hell. And it's something we need to get back. This is what made the country what it is.
Some ground I want to cover here, Jim, because as near as I can tell, the only event that I'm aware of that is happening today, there will be an event over at the Harding Museum, which is behind the Harding home, and I believe it's Dr. Richard Harding will be there, one of the nephews of President Harding. What's your feeling at this point toward the Harding family?
Richard, it's just a laugh. It's laughable. It's I'm so disappointed. I'm very angry, and I'm so tired of this, and I've just been put off, and it's funny because they come out and they all say, oh, well, we've accepted him in the family. Except for Richard, I've never heard from one Harding on that side of the family. And even him, when I talked to him, it was telling me what to do and not do. And asking me to don't trumpet this story and don't do this and don't talk about that. But when they talk to the public, everything's great and, they accept me and everything else. They've never accepted me. They're never going to accept me. That's the problem. I look at them because the more I research this, the more I realize that they're kind of part of the problem. They have not. And what have they done for him? Nothing. They haven't gone out and done stuff and tried to save his name or try to correct anything. They don't go. I'm really disappointed in them. And I met the other half of the family, and I met some wonderful people and very warm to me. But you see, I met the other half of the family, and they just kind of explained everything to me, and they told me that from day one, almost everyone that I met told me from day one and apologized to me and everything over and over again, that they always knew my mother was his daughter. Everyone always knew. And so that kills the whole thing as, oh, they didn't know, they didn't have proof, they didn't have this. They all knew, especially the women. They know. And they all knew, but they were told to stand down. And so they all know this, but they don't want to do this. And I said this years and years ago. My mom was the Hardings' kryptonite. They knew if something happened with her and she was accepted as this, that would put them on the back shelf. And that's not what they wanted. And that's what's happened with Harding. He's been put on the back shelf, and no one pays any attention, and no one does anything. And they just are letting him sit there and rot and not getting the recognition he needs. He was a great president, and he was a good person, exceptionally good person, and he cared about everyone. And he was the most liked president. Everyone loved him, and he treated everyone with respect and love, everything. And what more could you ask from a person? That's and he did so much. I mean, if people, I talked about the book, the new book, and I told people to read it, and it would really, really give you a different insight on this person. And I learned so much from this stuff that I already knew, though, and it kind of made everything I talk about him true. But it's the Jazz Age President. And it's an exceptional book, but it deals in nothing but the truth and facts. And it lays out everything that he accomplished and did that you don't get from stuff like this. I've talked to a ton of people, and I asked them, did you know that he was up for the Nobel Peace Prize? And no one, I never knew that in school. I never learned that twice. And it's like nobody knows anything. All they know, you talk to them, and they talk about the Teapot Dome. That's all they talk about, and how they're torn down and stuff. And I actually have a friend that's a history teacher in my old high school, and he actually teaches high school, my old high school where we all went to school, and he's a history teacher. And I've talked to him, and he said, I didn't know half of this stuff. But you see, he knew a lot about Harding because he lived right down the street from me, and he saw my grandmother all the time and talked to her and everything. And he knew the stories too. And he had told me a while back that he was in his classroom across the hall from her, from this teacher that was there, a lady teacher. And he heard her talking to her class. And he stopped the class for a while and listened to her. And he went over to her class and he said to her, I have to correct you and this and that, because they were talking about Nan Blessing and, you know, Nan Harding, whatever you want to call her, but the teacher was talking about her, and he told her in front of her class, he said, I have to correct you, I'm sorry, but this is not right, what you're talking about with her. It was about something about them or whatever, and he said, this is not true, and she said, yes, it is, and he said, no, it's not. She asked, how do you know, and he said, because I grew up with her. And this is not what she was about, and not about this. And I knew what her relationship was with Harding and everything else, because my grandmother told everybody about it. She loved to tell the story. And I've told people before, you know, my mom used to be bugged out about going places with her on the bus, because she'd tell us, by the time we're to our destination on the bus, everybody in the damn bus knew about it, knew who she was. And she was proud of that. She was very proud of that. And but it's just, you know, this goes on all the time. People talk about this, and, you know, people say something, hey, I heard your Harding's, and they just go, you know, oh, man, he was really a crook and all this stuff, and it just irritates me to no end, because it's not who he was at all. And
you know, Jim, there's something interesting here. When President Harding last visited Marion, it was July 4th, 1922. It was the celebration of the centennial of Marion's founding. And there's something interesting, because the newspaper covered that back then. And I want to lay this on you. While he was here, Harding noted that the presidency is much more difficult than people assume. Now, this is a quote from President Harding back in 1922, right, during his last visit here. He said, some of you think it is a very fine thing to be president of the United States, and it is good to keep on thinking it, he said, because when you wake up from your dream, you will find it is a very different thing.
Yep.
What do you make of that?
I make of that, if you read all the statements he's made, I'll tell you, as long as we're talking on this real quick, let me put this in here because so many people don't know it. Kennedy is known, when you talk about anybody about Kennedy, what is the first thing, how do you know Kennedy, and what's the first thing they say? The first thing is his quote, do not ask what your country can do for you. And that was written by my grandfather in 1922. And no one knows that. But Kennedy takes that everywhere with him. That's how he's known. This is what people talk about him. They remember him as writing something so significant and this stuff, and it's not written by him. It was written by my grandfather. Mm. And you can look it up. I'll send it to you. It was written very eloquent, like everything else he did. And this is the other thing is I read these articles about him, and he was a bumbling fool and a moron. He didn't have any things. He didn't read. He wasn't educated. He didn't do this. He was just a total bumbling idiot. Well, that bumbling idiot became senator, became president of the United States. So he wasn't a bumbling idiot. He was a genius. I mean, he figured it out and put it together and did it all. Things that most people can't do. And he was not. If you read the quotes he makes, some of them are great, some of them are funny, but he did all this stuff. And I think that, writing what he does, it shows what type of person he was and how he had such insight on stuff. And he writes so well. And then they find out that when you research him, you find out that he read all the best authors and everything. And he cared. I'll tell you, one of the things he wanted to do, and he was the first one to bring radio into the White House, and she was the first one to fly on a plane from the White House, he wouldn't fly. And, but they did all these first come things, nothing. But when they brought the radio in and movies really fascinated him. And it's interesting because I love to go to the movies. Because when you go to the movies, it takes you to places that you could never afford to go. It shows you the world without you having to go there. And I just love that. It takes you into a whole new world and opens your vision. It opens everything for you. And it gives you something that you could probably never afford on your own. And I just think it's wonderful. And he did, too. He just loved the movies. And he loved all this stuff, loved the radio. And he first wanted to put the radio in. But he did come out and make a speech, and you can research all this. People can look it up and find out, because if you start researching him, you're going to find out what an incredible man he was. But one of the things he did, and that we're talking the 100-year anniversary, and one of the things that he did was he made a speech about it. He talked about one of the things we need to do is we need to make sure that it is regulated. Movies, TV, be regulated, everything. But mostly the radio at the time. And he said, one thing we have to do is make sure that it is regulated, because it could go in the wrong direction and be used for the wrong reasons. And that was one of his big deals. And he did this, and look where we are now.
Jim,
look
there's
what's going on with the media, and look at all the stuff that's going on. He was right on about everything, right on the money about it, and we're 100 years later, and the media is destroyed.
Jim,
everything, and he wrote about a million different things and talked about it. And with movies, he said something that's just incredible. And I thought about this even before I knew him talking about this when I was younger. I used to talk about how they should do a series of TV, and this is exactly what he said. And I didn't even know this when I was younger, but put together a series that's a movie that would explain things and teach kids and do things like that. And stuff, and that's what he wanted to do. He went to Will Hayes and asked him about doing this, and he already had all these things in mind to have them do. And he asked them if they'd be willing to do this and stuff like that. He cared about the country, he cared about the world, he cared about everything, and he wanted to help people and do things that were important and would better their lives. He was big on bettering their lives. He created the 5-day work week and got rid of the 12-day thing. Went right after he died, and he had been hounding the factories and stuff to do this, the steel industry and stuff. And after he died, they came out and admitted that they changed it to, they stopped the 12-hour work days, 7 days a week. We worked 7 days a week. And because of this and because of him, it stopped. And they came out and admitted it, that the main reason they had done this was because of Harding. There's so much that he did that people don't know about. It's just unbelievable. Of all the committees and things that he started, all the things that he started, the budget, just everything, all kinds of stuff he did, and no one seems to know about any of it. All they know is Teapot Dome.
You know, it's interesting. It's interesting, Jim, because a lot of people's connection to President Harding, at least here in Marion, comes through the Harding home. And, of course, the site manager at the Harding home is Sherry Hall, a name that people know. She had written a book a few years ago on President Harding's time at the Marion Star. And I think a lot of people wonder what your communications have been with her. What is your relationship with Sherry Hall over at the home?
Zero. Silch. I got a thing from her, an email, and she told me that I needed to get in touch with her because I needed to understand how it all worked. And there's that bumbling idiot thing again. But she told me that I needed to contact her because I needed to find out how it all worked and how it was all put together and stuff. And that was about it. And I've never really talked to her, not much at all. I have gotten emails back in the day. I used to get emails about her and complaints and whatever, and I don't know her. And I had at one time I wanted to write her, and I wanted to start it off. The thing is, telling her I want to thank you very much for doing this for my grandfather and being there to talk to people about him and stuff. But it has to be done differently. It can't be. You need to get people into that house and let people understand them. And once again, it comes down. The biggest complaint that I've had is, why isn't my mom in there? And that's the biggest thing, because anybody that has a daughter, anybody, the normal person knows that bond between a father and a daughter. And whether he knew her or not, he had a daughter. He was really proud. He was excited. He wanted kids and couldn't have kids. And, they told him he couldn't, but we found out he could. See, so this is what I mean. If this is so, he's screaming out because he was in a situation that was very different, and he can't get help.
Jim, when she said you need to learn how things work around here, what did that mean? Just how events happen? Is that the connotation?
Well, I think I took it because of what was going on, because I'd made comments about the house and this and that, and I think I took it as she was trying to tell me, well, this isn't part of you, and this isn't this, and you just need to understand. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. And from what I hear from people about her, I'm not taking it wrong. And from what I gather, that's like her house, and this is her thing, and, And I don't know. She could be a wonderful person, but I haven't had that opportunity, so I don't know. I'm just kind of guessing from my life experience how people are. And, to write me something and say to me, I'd like you to write me and or talk to me or call me so that I can explain to you how it all works. And I don't know. I guess it all works the way I think it does, is that it's a house for people to come and learn history and learn about his life and what type of person he was and learn about how he lived and things like that. That's all it is. It's nothing other than that. So, it's an opportunity for people to go and meet him and where the truth should be written. And it should be all over the walls. And it should be yelling, I had a daughter. I had a daughter. This is what he wants people to know. I was just like everybody else. I did have a family and I did have a daughter. And this is the other thing. This steps us off to the other thing. His family is me, my kids, my grandkids, my brothers, kids and grandkids, my mom. That's his family. That is his family. That's his immediate family. We're his kin. We're his blood. And the other Hardings are a part of a family that was not the same thing at all. This is a family that he created. Think about it. He's part of every one of us. And it was all created with my grandmother. And you can think right or wrong, whether it was bad or not, about the affair and everything else, but it was a man that was looking for love and help. He was not getting it at home. We all know that. The Hardings know it. Everybody knows it. And he veered off, which it was, and they make him out to be this big womanizer and all this stuff. Well, tell me where they all were. They if you read about him and read the articles, they make it out like he had a different girl every night, and all these people are saying, oh, this and that and this and that, and, he's bringing people in all over the place and all these guys. No, they didn't. you can read stuff and you can read between the lines and understand it. And it's just not that. That is not who he was. That's not who I am, and I'm him. And my brothers are just like him. Everything. We're all out of the same. We're cut out of the same skin. So it's just. It's not. It's very interesting, but it's all a crock.
Well, Jim, just back to the Harding home here.
Are you sound angry?
Well, you know, I think people can understand where your anger might be coming from. On a day like today, there will be an event over at the Harding home today. Are you invited to these events?
Oh, yeah. They're sending the jet for me in a limo. I'm going to be there. No, I don't hear from them anything. Nothing. I don't hear a word from anybody. Nothing. Not to go. Richard gets to go there, though. But I don't hear anything from him. And once again, I remind you, I'm his family. I'm his true family. I'm not the family that took the money and lived off the name. I'm the family that he born. It's unbelievable. They do not want, Peter told me this, Peter Harding, when I was putting all this together with Peter Harding, he told me over and over again, they do not want you anywhere near any of that because you will stop the train and they will stop what they've got and take it away from them. They won't be able to go make speeches and make appearances and do all this kind of stuff, you know. And I was warned then, and they do not want me around anywhere.
No.
And so this is why I don't hear a thing from them. And I've told you I do have information on certain things, so I know exactly what's going on and how they feel about me. And it's sad. It's really sad because it's like I said, the will and everything. Well, why would that have ever happened? That stuff, you know, it just none of it makes any sense at all. I mean, to a person with common sense, there's stuff that stands out like flame in your face. It's just it's pretty interesting. So,
you know, and
I take it with a grain of salt. I figures that, you know, somewhere along the line it'll change and it'll all come out and things will happen, and hopefully pretty soon the people will find out what really went on.
You know, Jim, if you had your choice or decision at this point, not being invited to these things and the interactions you've had with people at the Harding home and the Harding family, people such as Sherry Hall, people such as the Harding family, what would you like to see happen with those people?
Well, Sherry, I'd like to see her probably not working there. And I don't know. I mean, it's hard for me. I say it with my disrespect for everybody that has totally disrespected my family. I say that because I don't know any other way to think about them. All of them, they've taught me to be this way, and they've taught all of us to be this way. And it's just, I don't know. I mean, it's been 100 years. Think about this. It's like you're saying, this is the 100-year anniversary. And I love that because I am comparing this to what went on 100 years ago. And I mean, with what's going on today, it's 100-year anniversary of them treating another president like he got treated in the media. I mean, they tear into Trump like they know what they're talking about and they don't have a clue, but it's just unbelievable. I love this and I think it's great. And I think people, I'm sure everybody notices now, everybody knows what's going on. Most people have woken up to this, but the thing is that he lived the same life as Trump is doing right now. So he understands completely, and I'm sure he fought for this. And you know what? If take it to a personal level, if you were partying and you went through all of this and you knew what you felt and what type of person you really were, wouldn't you be crying out for help me? Please put this out there. Get this out there to the people and let them know what really happened or what was going on. There's so many things that just cry out for help. And it's not fair at all. It isn't fair to him at all. And that was what I promised my grandmother and my grandfather and my mom, is that I would try to get the truth out for them and let them people know what type of relationship they had and what it was like. I mean, my grandmother loved him to the day he died, and just did nothing but praise him every day. She talked about him and told people about him, and she would get so excited to talk about him, and she'd get this smile and this little thing on her lips where she would wet her lips, and she would be so excited to talk about him. And you can't tell me that that wasn't, that it didn't have something to do with him and what kind of person he was. And he did. And you know, I'll go back to this, and for people that don't understand, he was the president of the United States. He got my grandmother pregnant, and they were together for 6 years, and they had this relationship. And anybody else in that situation, they could have got rid of her with a phone call, with a tap on somebody's shoulder and say, deal with this and do it. And he didn't. And if that tells you right there the type of person he was, no matter what, you can say whatever you want about him, but that man stood by her, took care of her, gave her money to survive and her daughter till the last day he died.
Jim
care of her and was there for her.
Jim, in the essence of time here, I have two quick questions for you here. Did your grandmother ever say the last time she saw President Harding?
It was when she left. He had given her money. He sent her to Paris, and she was going to school there.
So he gave her cash.
He was paying for everything for her, and then he was giving her cash all the time. He was having it brought over. He had his Secret Service agent take money to her all the time. She was close with him.
Okay, and Jim, the other
spoke highly of him.
The other question of here that I definitely want to get in before we run out of time. On the 100th anniversary of your grandfather's death, whether people like it or dislike it, you are the grandson of President Warren G. Harding. If you could speak to him today, what would you say on the 100th anniversary of his death?
I'd say, bravo, bravo, and I'd say I love you, and I'm sorry I never got to meet you. And I'm the man you are. I was everything that you are and all of us are in the family. My brothers and I are all alike, and we're just like him. And we bend over backwards for everyone and try to be the best person we can every day. That's how he was. That's exactly what he was. And this is why we know more and know what really went on and whatever. And I would just tell him I'm trying as hard as I do. I talk to him all the time. And I tell him I'm trying as hard as I can. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying that. And this is what I want to get out there and stuff like that. And,
you know, I don't mean this question in an odd way, but when you talk to him, do you ever hear anything back?
Yeah. It's really, you know, it's funny because I have a friend that I deal with this stuff with all the time. I talk to him because he really enjoys the story. And he's read everything and he knows about stuff. I hear stuff and this stuff comes when I get out of the shower. I had a girlfriend one time because I do all my thinking in the shower and I'd get out of the shower in the morning, get ready to go. And she'd say, I don't want to hear it before I'd say anything because I'd say, hey, you know, I was in the shower and she'd say, I know it's coming. You came up with something, right? And you know, she was always worried it was going to be something negative to her or something. And I'd say, no, I did this and this, but I do it in the shower And I talk to him. I have a family tree thing that I built in my house, and it's got my grandmother and my grandfather at the bottom of it, and then my mom is right in the middle of them up, and then I've got a tree, and then I've got pictures of all of us, and I always look over at them when I'm doing something, and I just tell them I'm trying. We're getting closer, and people are learning more and more. And then when this book, yeah, I tell them all the time, but I know that he's telling me, you know, try this or do this, or he's telling me to look at all of this stuff. He's telling me about everything, and I'm always getting this thing saying, you got to look at this stuff. It's got to be looked at. See, I just don't understand. I have the hardest time how a president of the United States could die and no one would find out why. No one would find out. And then they say, when you read it, oh, well, you know, there was a couple doctors there. How do you know they were there? Nobody knows they were there. I've got an article where they talked about him before he died, and they said this so-called doctor, William something, was at a party, and he saw Harding. And he turned to the people in the party, and he said, Harding will die of cardiac problems in the next 6 months. That guy went on, and I'm surprised that we don't read about that doctor right now being the richest man in the world. Because if a guy can walk over and just look at somebody and say, oh, he's going to die of cardiac in 6 months, that guy would have been multi-billionaire back then. I mean, he could have been forecasting everybody's life and everything. How do you look at someone and say, oh, yeah, this is what's going to happen to him, no problem? And everybody goes, oh, well, William said it, so this is what happened to him. It's just absurd. This is what I read. It's just bizarre.
It certainly is interesting, and as I said, we could not do a centennial of the death of President Harding without his grandson, Jim Blessing. Jim, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you. I enjoy it every time, and I hope I didn't embarrass you, and I did.
Yep.
Okay.
No worries here. Stay well, Jim.
All right, you too, huh?
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Jim Blessing, the grandson of President Warren G. Harding, only interview he's doing on the centennial today. We're going to come back with Warren G. Harding in about 7 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Bursty, have a 53-year-old marriage with 3 children and 7 grandchildren. I've been a PR professional in college athletics, finance, and the media most of my life.